Hello, this is Alex Steinberg, chair of the Strategic Planning Committee, and we're about to convene tonight's meeting of the Strategic Planning Committee. The date is September 10th, 2018, and our secretary is Nancy Sorden, and I will ask her to take the roll call.
Okay. Joseph Davis?
Here in Houston.
Okay. Jan Goodman? Oh, did Jan get on?
I thought I heard her call in.
I can't hear you.
She's probably muted.
I'm sorry. I muted myself. I'm here. Okay, present. Janet Coburn?
Present.
Okay. Tony Leon.
Oh, okay, good.
Tony Leon? Can't hear you, Tony. Tom Livingston?
I'm here.
Afia Wangaza? Okay. Mansoor Sabah? Nancy Sorden, present. Alex Steinberg?
I'm here.
Carol Travis?
Here.
Tom Voorhees? Okay. We have seven.
Okay, well, that's a quorum. So I sent out a draft agenda. Sure, Carol. I sent out a draft agenda, and I will read it for the benefit of anybody who's listening. Item number one, roll call, 5 minutes. Item number two, agenda approval, 10 minutes. Item number three, minutes approval, 5 minutes. Item number four, and that's reports from working groups, and it's split up into three separate working groups that we currently have, finance working group, Purpose and Governance Working Group, and Programming Working Group. And each of those working groups have 10 minutes to bring forward their concerns or activities. Item number five is a discussion of underwriting policy for Pacifica. And when we get to that item, I would like to convene that discussion as a committee of the whole. And that will be a 45-minute discussion. Item number six is new business. That would be 15 minutes, and we adjourn no later than 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda as the draft, as I read it?
So moved.
Yes. And Jan Goodman, I would like to add amended.
And this is Janet. I have a question.
I'll take the question first. Go ahead, Janet.
Okay, so for item number five, you say you'd like to do it as a committee of the whole. It's my understanding that would require a vote of the body to have.
That's correct. Yes.
Right. Okay. But I had asked for the motion that was taken up, my motion about underwriting from the last one of the last meetings, to be revisited.
So, let's see if when we get to that item. If we're going to do a committee of the whole, then we're not taking motions at all. So you could vote against that. Or alternatively, you can suggest a separate agenda item just to consider your motion.
Okay, well, I think that would require me to get on the stack after whoever else wanted to amend. So I would like to do that.
Okay, that's fine.
Can you come back to me?
Sure. So I think Jan wanted to propose an amendment.
I wanted Jan. To find out. Hi.
I got in.
I'd like to add Good. In at an appropriate place discussion about sustainers, about building a sustainer program. And I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's in any of these subcommittees. So I'm...
Well, I guess it could be...
You could put it in a new business. But, I think for today it could be a short discussion, and I would like it to go before the 45-minute discussion and give it, like...
Well, I think that you could... You could discuss that during the time for the finance working group.
Okay.
Seems to be an appropriate spot for it now.
Yes, if the body believes that's a good time for it, I just don't want to be putting it up there and then everybody think, oh no, this is for blah 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 blah.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure what exactly the Finance Working Group is going to report. My impression is they haven't met for a while, but I'm not entirely sure. So, but anyway, we have a few minutes allocated for that group, so why don't we just bring it up under that point?
Okay.
Janet, did you want to make an amendment?
No, actually, I'll skip that for now.
Okay. Anybody, any other discussion, amendments, or objections to the draft agenda? Okay, then I will consider that unanimous consent on the draft agenda, and let's move on. Do we have any new sets of amendments?
Alex, Nancy here.
Yeah, no new sets of minutes?
No. No amendments, right, to the agenda.
No amendment, no, I didn't. I mean, Jan sort of proposed one, but I think I convinced that we can deal with our issue under the existing draft, so.
With respect to the minutes, Carol, you had done minutes for the last meeting.
Really? Oh, God. Okay. Well, didn't I send them out?
To the group.
Okay. Right. I think I did them the same night or the next morning.
Yeah.
And I don't remember them at all. Let's do it next meeting.
Let's deal with it next meeting then. Okay, then we'll move on to the next item, and that's the reports from the working groups. And the first working group to be heard from is the Finance Working Group, and I don't think Afia is at the meeting. She was convening that group, but is anybody else from that group at the meeting now who can give us any report?
I was not at the meeting. I don't have a report. We'll see who else is in
okay.
Who else is in that group?
Joseph, I have a question, but not a report.
Yeah. Go ahead, Joseph.
In regard to the financials, I was just wondering if we could hear from Tom, because we had passed a motion a while back about getting a report from all the units on financial practices, and I just hadn't heard anything in a while, and I was wondering where that went. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Tom,
I say two things. First of all, the committee has not met, to my knowledge. I was there at the first meeting, and there was a second meeting that was called, and we didn't get a quorum, and there has been no third meeting or any attempt to convene the group again. In terms of what Joseph has asked for, it's perfectly it's a good request. I've been having conversations with Nita on working on, we are working on developing a budget. This isn't really answering your question, I guess. It's not, so I don't have anything to report in terms of the what was passed in that motion, which was Joseph, say it again, what the specific request in the motion was.
Well, basically, all the motion said was we wanted to each station to give us a short, maybe one or two page report on what their ongoing finance fiscal practices are, so that we could kind of see what everybody was doing. That's it.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm afraid I don't have it. I apologize. I'll make sure that that request gets made.
Okay, I think the problem, one of the problems with the finance working group is that they were waiting for some budget numbers that we finally beginning to get some from NEDA. Is that correct?
It was just in our first meeting, maybe Nancy can help with this. In our first meeting, we did some sort of diagramming what the situation is. There were two things. One was, you know, sort of getting all the information together about the remainder from the sale and from the two loans, and the, you know, kind of sort of where that is. And then Janet had started a list of all the possible obligations for Pacifica, sort of pending payments, and I had sort of responded to some of that. That was kind of where the work was headed, and then we never had the second meeting.
I'm trying to find the minutes from that. Then I can.
Okay. Okay. I think we definitely need a meeting of that group again.
Our intention was to meet on the Monday night, opposing the full committee, the strategic planning committee. So the goal was to meet every other Monday night.
Okay.
Athea was very involved in the prison strike thing. So, and that's kind of...
Yeah, I understand that.
So, yeah.
All right, I'll try to follow up with some emails to the group members and see where we stand before we have our next strategic planning committee meeting. I would like to get especially Afia, of course. I would like to get some kind of proposal out of the finance working group. Jan,
from that first meeting, if you want me to refresh folks' memory on what the plan is.
Yeah.
Okay. It was clarification of our expenses, what we owe, what we currently owe, and what do we know we will owe, clarification of income and expenses, short-term, long-term. Create a timeline and prioritizations. Review previous revenue ideas from the directors and match them up with the timeline. Directors review producing ideas from February 25th. Pacifica policy direction on grants and underwriting. Professional assistance, major fund development, commission-based bequests. Commission-based something or other and bequests. I think that was two separate things. Major fund developer, commission-based, that was what that was. And then Tom had sent a chart of information, and then he addressed, I guess, he will get a rough estimate where all the units are at for the next time. This group meets, which it hasn't met yet. That was all. That was a note from the last report on July 19th.
Okay. So I guess we just need to continue that work. Jed, I know you wanted to say something. You wanted to bring up a point about
July 9th.
Sustainer programs or something. Jed?
July 19th, that's right.
Jan, are you on the call? I don't know if she's still on the call or if she's just muted. All right, let's go on.
Maybe not.
Okay, then let's go on to the next working group report, and if Jan comes back on the call, maybe she can, you know, bring up her point later. We had the I can't remember the name, the official title of this group. It's purpose and governance or something like that.
Yeah, or mission or whatever. Yeah. Okay, I'll give a quick report on that.
Governance and mission. Sorry. From the notes, it's okay. Governance and mission.
Governance and mission. Okay.
Yeah, I know some people have started discussing bylaws, amendments, and stuff like that. I think we do want to get into that, but we're not going to have time at this meeting. But just a heads up that we're going to get into it at the next meeting. Carol, go ahead.
We have not met really since the we worked very hard on developing the survey that was designed to help us all understand each other's thoughts on a lot of structural issues and also mission issues, and to get a sense of where we kind of disagreed, but also to get a sense of where we agreed most strongly, to see if we could have kind of a foundation from which to move from where there was a consensus. The beautiful survey is a big flop, as far as I understand. Mansoor, who is monitoring the responses, has not mentioned it, and he was getting ready to leave for France, and I kind of forgot about it because of all the bylaws stuff. And so I guess as soon as we're back in touch with him, I'll see there's anything about that, and maybe I'll try and have a subgroup meeting without him before before next Thursday, or a week from Thursday when I post, for a meeting a week from Thursday if the post, survives, on bylaws.
We'll
try.
Do we have the furnished survey available?
I will look for the survey and send it to us, at least. He had it. He was sending it through a Survey Monkey, which I have access to. But I'll send what we did in Word to everybody, and I can also send it again to the. I can send it in Word to the.
SurveyMonkey is a perfectly good tool. It's just that.
I don't know what happened to it.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we ask somebody else on the board who's knowledgeable about SurveyMonkey to take it over at this point?
Do you know who that might be?
I know Bill Crozier knows SurveyMonkey pretty well. I think
up before, soon. And also I will send out the Word version, which is a bit different than what Mansoor came up with, because he was not part, blah, blah, blah. Never mind. I will send, I'll try and get the survey out on SurveyMonkey and also out on Word and also attempt to convene the small group, the working group, before a discussion on bylaws so that maybe we can come up with a list of the various issues that are in contention with all the different proposals, because I think there are different proposals and different thoughts on the same subject. So if we can get a list of subjects and kind of prioritize them in the group and then bring them to help organize the meeting, if that works all right with our chair, Madam Chair, and see if that's helpful. That's my report. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, if I may, this is Tom. I think the idea of the survey and the version that I'd seen just seemed really helpful and important, and I hope that we can make it happen. I think understanding where everybody's coming from is, it could be a way to sort of start to grow some shared understanding of where everybody's coming from, and a lot of these issues, you know, what's possible to move forward could be clarified a lot by if we can get the survey completed.
Yeah,
I think it's just a matter of getting the right person to follow through on it. And Nancy, go ahead.
Yeah, it's like pulling chicken's teeth, getting people to do a survey. Or there's different ways you can get people to participate. Might need a group to, like, call people and read the questions to them and take their answers down, right. Whatever it takes.
Well, I think it's just like you have to be systematic. You have to announce the survey and then follow up again maybe two or three times. And eventually people will do it. I mean, not everybody, of course, but I'd say a healthy percentage of board members will do it.
I'd be happy to have some help on calls for people who are not answering, and I'll reach out to people on this committee broadly, if that's okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Carol. All right, so the next item was from the programming, or again, I'm not sure what the name of that group is. It's basically content or programming or something. And we have not met. We did have an initiative that was passed by the Pacifica National Board about hiring a national program director and proposing a strategic direction for Pacifica to move more in the direction of national programming. I guess I'd like to ask Tom if he could give us any kind of progress report on that.
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't have any progress with that either. We've discussed the idea a couple of times in the management meeting, but what it'll take is for me to diagram the position to do a job description and get it out there, and I just haven't been able to get that done.
Okay. Maybe we could reconvene another meeting of the group just to help with that part. Maybe we can be of some assistance in coming up with a job description and stuff like that.
Yeah, that would be great. I think so. And just having a deadline, well, it isn't anything that's going to take me a huge amount of time. It's just finding the, getting that in the work stack and getting it done.
Well, I know you have like a million other responsibilities, Tom. So.
I think just having some kind of a structure around it. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's meet informally and see if we can help out some way. All right. I don't have anything more.
I'll work on it too.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I'll work on it also.
Great.
Okay. Great. I'll send out emails on that and see what.
Please
see
remember
can...
that I'm on the committee.
I know.
Yep.
Okay. So I guess the next item, I wanted to have a discussion on underwriting, and I propose that we do it as a committee of the whole, and a committee of the whole basically means that we do away with most of the normal issues of parliamentary procedure. There's going to be no motions or anything like that. It's just simply a discussion. Everybody gets a chance to weigh in. But in order to do that, we have to have a motion to go into a committee of the whole for the next agenda item. So can somebody make that motion?
Well, before we do that, I'm sorry, I had to step away. Did you finish the finance committee? This is Jen. I had to step away from the phone for a minute. And so did we pass the finance committee slot on the agenda?
Well, we sort of did, but I don't think anybody will object if you had a couple of minutes to bring forward some ideas or some proposal you may have.
Okay, so other stations, a very good proportion of their income comes from sustainers, comes from automatic withdrawals of money from bank accounts or monthly payments, and then as which they have as part of their fund drives. And we have some sustainers, but it's not a very big proportion of our income. And I would like to propose that this is an area that we could really develop. And some of the ideas that I have for it that I think would help in this regard is part of the sustainer program, because we're so dependent on premiums that people, I feel, are reluctant to become sustainers because then they won't get premiums. That as part of the sustainer program, that people would be able to, you know, pick a premium or two premiums or three premiums. You know, we have some categories that are online that they can pick premiums so they know they're not going to be losing out on premiums if they become sustainers. That would be kind of one cornerstone that we should have or that we should think about in this regard. And another cornerstone that I think is important would be that people participate in, speaking of surveys, that at least we try to get sustainers to tell us like their 3 to 5 favorite programs, so we get a sense of who, you know, what people who are dedicated enough to be sustainers, what kind of programming they care about and that they're interested in. And then a third thing would be to have some special programs that only sustainers get to attend. Anyway, so that people would probably like to do. Anyway, so it's something that I feel that this would be a very excellent way to improve in a very, very big way our finances. I mean, and maybe Tom can talk about his experience with sustainers. And then I don't know where we should put this or where it should go.
I'd like to hear from Tom if he wishes to react to that.
Yeah, so in the last 5 to 7 years, I guess, the idea of sustainer is so migrating donors to being sustainers, as Jan described it. It's the either an electronic funds transfer, an EFT, or a credit card, and you say, I'm going to give you $10 a month, and then it just goes until you stop it. And the impact on that is that it's increased the average gift. It increases the average gift by about 50% and just about triples the average lifespan of a gift. And the so the average for people that are sustainers is about $180 a year, while the average these are public radio figures. The average for people who just make a regular pledge is $120, and so that's dramatic. And public radio stations have. Has some files are 50 to 70% sustainers now, and it's really just by talking about it. The idea is it seems very intuitive, and it's really I believe that this largely started in public radio, and now the sustainer idea is everywhere. All kinds of nonprofits are pushing the idea, and of course the impact of that is if you start to get so, and another thing about Pacifica is that there's obvious differences between public radio and Pacifica, but the a mature public radio membership program, these are just the small gifts, it's not major giving or anything, is that about 30%, about a third of the money comes from pledge, and while two-thirds comes from renewing people on by mail or online, and with Pacifica, it's almost 100%. We're almost 100% reliant on pledge, and of course, the impact of that has been that a public radio station believes. You know, so these are just sort of rules of thumb in public radio. If you're doing on-air fundraising for more than about 25 or 30 days a year, then you're driving listeners away, and you know, it may be that the declining audience that we have and the declining revenue that we have is because we're doing pledge so much. And so, you know, I haven't counted the number of days, but stations talk about doing 140 days a year of pledge. And so the impact of a successful sustainer program would be to get more money from people. It would take the pressure off of pledge. And one of the things that public radio stations have found is their sustainer programs took off, they would make less money in pledge, which was very disconcerting for stations. Implementing a sustainer program. Now, this is one of those things that public radio studies to death, and a lot of effort has gone into researching it and how do you implement a program. And so I imagine it would be relatively easy to get some support or some outside help to say, you know, here are the keys to a successful sustainer program. It might be possible to go on to the association that supports fundraising in public radio and television. It's called Greater Public, and they might have resources that on their website or that we could ask for that would be readily available. So I believe it's a program that would be pretty easy to implement, and it could make a really significant difference in how we're doing.
Well, Tom, I know that WBAI has long had a sustainer program called BAI Buddy.
Yeah.
I'm not clear where the other stations are at with sustainer programs. I know a couple of them wanted to take a look at the BAI Buddy system to see if they can apply something like that to their own stations. And the BI Buddy has been relatively successful, but it could be a lot more successful, I think, if it was followed up with some of the technical skills that public radio has access to.
Yeah, and I think a good first step would be to just find out how much money how many BAI Buddies we have and how much money that generates.
Janet?
Yeah. Go ahead, Janet.
Jan Goodman.
So KPFA also has a, well, it's not called a buddy, but it's a sustainers program. I can't remember the name of it. Maybe Carol knows.
Nope.
Jen, here on the stack.
Jen, go ahead.
So, KPFK has one also, but I think that it is the what I'm talking about is really beefing up many aspects of the program. Just because we have a program at KPFK doesn't mean that, and it's not making much money to me, doesn't mean that it isn't capable of being much, much larger and much more successful, because as I indicated, I think a lot of people don't give money as sustainers because they're, you know, we train people to want to have premium. So I think a whole integrated program, and, you know, I just hate hearing people saying, well, been there, done that, you know, we have it and nobody's sustaining. Well, I don't hear, so that's why I think we need to, I won't repeat all the things I said, but we need to, one of the things that I think we could do, and maybe this would be one of the tasks for the new executive director to, you know, look into, but we could look into it, some as our committee.
Hi, Gina.
To try to,
hello?
To figure out how to do it in a better way. Hold on, we have some
background noise. Can somebody mute themselves?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jen.
Hi. Okay.
Jan's on the phone. Can you call back in
10 minutes? Okay. Okay. Anyway, so I don't know if this would be in the finance committee. I sort of envision the finance committee dealing with the finances as we have them, and not as the strategic planning in general is how to beef up our incoming finances. But I may be totally wrong about that. It's something that I would like to have us investigate or have me. You know, and I thought that this should be a short item. So, what?
Jan,
where do you think?
Let me propose that you do follow up on that. I think the thing with a sustainer program is not that you simply announce you have a sustainer program, but you have to cultivate it, and you have to follow up, and you have to.
Exactly. Do the
kind of demographic studies that go along with it, and you have to have people getting on the phone when somebody's credit card number expires and asking them if they want to continue, that kind of stuff. It just doesn't thrive on its own because you've announced you have a sustainer program.
Absolutely.
So I think that's the difference between our sort of half-hearted implementation and the way it's been implemented and some of the public radio stations, and we could certainly learn something from that. And maybe you can get together with Tom and maybe speak to Berthold, the general manager of WBI, who's had the longest-running sustainer program in Pacifica, as far as I'm aware. Maybe we can do some follow-up on that and see what else we could do to really professionalize the sustainer program idea.
Yes, okay. This is Tom. If I may, I think that's a great idea, and we could also do a conversation with some experts in this. I know some people that have their practice is sort of built around this, and I was also thinking as Jan was talking, I mean, this starts to dig in deeper, but that we have some assumptions about why people give money to Pacifica, and is it for the premiums, is it because they want to support the organization, I think we have somewhat limited capacity and maybe appetite for doing studies like that, but really understanding the, what are the motivations for people to give? And is it because of the premiums? I think that that could be something that could be pretty important, pretty fundamental work. You know, as you said, Alex, that might be work for the next executive director.
Carol, mm-hmm. for the staff.
Go ahead, Carol.
As this comes up, it sounds to me like, to some extent, when we're talking about premiums and so on, that it's drifting. It may drift, given the way people do operationally implement stuff like this, into underwriting or, you know, sort of semi-sales, and which I think we have to be careful of and look at. And also I just want to say that wherever we start getting money, and I understand, for example, from Alex Randall's visit to New York, that I guess fiber, you know, nutritional things is big in New York, and I understand from Grace that beauty cream is important in L.A., and I think once you become dependent on that kind of thing, it really skews what you're doing, and I'm concerned about that because I think it's important for us to work in ways in which we're encouraging support for what we're doing rather than for premiums or premiums related to the things that we're doing substantively on information and education. I'm done.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, and if I may, that's sort of the basic idea around the, you know, if we can be more effective with our membership program, if we can raise more money directly from donors, then that takes if the sustainer idea where somebody's giving us $10 or $15 a month takes pressure off of the pledge model, it may mean fewer days of pledge. I share that concern with you that the and I hear conversation about that that we're it's basically a it's a lot, you know, somewhat like the public television model that we're I hear people talk about the dubious value of some of these items that we're, you know, another thing that I believe is that that those items tend to be high value items. And so if we're talking about $250 or $350 or $1,000 items that we're selling, basically, the other thing about that is when we talk about that, it drives participation down. And that the, you know, so people who are going to give us their $25 or their $50 or, you know, it's a little bit the opposite of being egalitarian too. So, you know, so having these items of dubious value, helps to drive, it's image stuff that if we are, suggesting to people that to buy this thing for $250 and it's really focused on the buying the thing, that can be a problem.
Yeah.
Janet, and I'd like to wrap this up soon, but go ahead, Janet.
Well, first of all, the name of the KPFA Sustainer Program is KPFA Allies, or Become a KPFA Ally is how it's stated. But I also wanted to say that what happens at KPFA during fund drives is many programs are preempted with recordings of events that have taken place and then sort of and using CDs and DVDs of those events as premiums. But it should be the programming itself, not special events, that raises money. Why does regular programming get preempted? I mean, we should have wonderful programming that brings in money. Anyway, I'll stop there.
Okay. Well, to be continued. So Jan and Tom, I guess you'll get together and have further discussions on this.
Figure out next steps.
Sure. Okay. I think that's certainly a promising area to discuss and see if we can flesh out. Okay. So let's go on to the next agenda item, which is underwriting. And I would like a motion to go into a committee of the whole so that we can just have a free discussion without worrying about motions for now.
So moved.
Yes, motion.
Nancy? Could I?
Nancy, did you have a question or what?
Yeah, I don't think you want to go into a committee of the whole. You want to do a quasi committee of the whole so you can stay in the chair.
All right, sounds like you've done some research in Robert's rules. What's the difference, quick?
I thought there's other differences. I don't know. It's probably the best is just to go into an informal discussion. That's the simplest thing. You don't have to have votes on anything, and you can debate. You can set rules for debate to be unlimited, or you can set them to be, everybody gets so many minutes, round robin, or whatever, or they can be back and forth, and then when you want to come out of it, someone will. You can also have unanimous consent if it's obvious that there's something that everybody agrees on. You can have a unanimous consent, I believe. Anyways, I would recommend just moving to go for informal discussion.
Okay, that sounds fine to me.
Jan Goodman, so moved. To go
yeah. Okay. We have a motion.
Janet, I'm sorry. I've been trying to hit the floor for a little while.
Go ahead, Janet.
Okay. So I would be okay with going into a quasi or whatever committee of the whole, but only if my motion that I resent to the committee and along with John Kriegler's PowerPoint about underwriting, but that's separate but related. My motion, as long as there would be time for my motion at the end, or maybe even before this open discussion.
I don't really want to get into motions tonight. We could. I would be glad to discuss your motion at the next meeting. The whole purpose of having this kind of discussion is that
Nancy, could the motion just be discussed during the informal discussion and not draw?
We can discuss it. We can discuss it, sort of an idea, but we can't. I don't want, if we start entertaining motions, we're not really doing an informal discussion. You're either doing one or the other. But you can certainly discuss the merits of a certain approach to the issue and so on.
All right. Well, I'll find
would that be would that be acceptable? I'm not trying to cross your motion. I'm trying to get a sort of a discussion going before we get to motions, that's all.
I'll discuss parts of my motion as part of the informal.
Okay,
discussion.
That's fine. Yeah. All right, so having discussed that, are there any objections to going into his informal discussion for the next 45 minutes? Or until we get tired of discussing it. Okay, then let's do that. To start off, I did send out some documents on underwriting before the last meeting. One was a little historical survey I wrote up a few years ago about some of the history of underwriting with National Public Radio and public television, and as you're pr- probably well aware, it's sort of been a topic that's been very politically loaded in the Pacifica community, but we have had many of our affiliates have been doing some form or other of underwriting, and one of the things I did was I sent an example of a policy toward underwriting by one of our affiliates. I think it was the Tampa, Florida station, WMNR.
MNF,
yeah. It was the Arlene Engelhard station. She was our executive director for about a year and a half, a few years ago. And there was also... Yeah, listen to them. Okay. there was also a sample of a contract that station has with its underwriters. And I forget what else. There was one other thing I sent. But anyway, well, just to give you an idea of how, if you do decide you want to do some form of underwriting, how it could be monitored or controlled or to make sure that it still stays within the mission of Pacifica if we are to go in that direction. And I'm not saying we should or we shouldn't. I just think we should have that discussion. And I guess I would like to ask Tom what are his experiences with underwriting, and how does he think that underwriting always undermines the mission of an entity like Pacifica's, and how much income does it actually generate? And I guess that, you know, that depends on the specifics, but maybe Tom has some experience in that area. I mean, he certainly has a lot more experience than any of us do anyway.
Yeah, I'm glad to speak to it. And I think when you ask about how much it raises, that begs a question that I could get some data. Again, you know, as I said, with the sustainer giving programs, it's one of those things that public radio studies. You know, we have conferences about those things. But let me say a couple of things. One is in a public radio station, it depends on how effective the station is, you know, what percentage of the revenue it is, but it's not uncommon to have, you know, so the revenue streams for a public radio station are membership, underwriting, and slowly developing major giving. And it's not that unusual. They're comparable. They tend to be comparable in size. That membership and underwriting tend to be in the same kind of ballpark. For some stations, it's, you know, the revenue from underwriting is significantly less than for membership, but in some it's more than half. You know, there's more money that stations generate from underwriting than they do from membership. I've been working with a little station in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and they've gone through they have politics like Pacifica. It's a very strongly identified as a community radio station, and they went through a period where they were getting about 2/3 of their revenue. So they get money from CPB, but no place else. And so about 2/3 of their other revenue was coming from underwriting. And then when the recession happened, the percentages flipped. And so now they're making more from membership. So, you know, my answer to that question would be in the same kind of ballpark. And then the idea of at least looking at underwriting comes from my visits to our Pacifica stations, our five stations. And all of them are doing some version of what I would call underwriting. So four of the five, I don't believe that KPFA is, although they do, they'll do event sponsorship or concert sponsorships where the, So I believe that they're probably getting some money from businesses.
But that's not related to broadcasting, right? That's just events.
I should be really clear about the practices. I'm just really reporting to what my impression was, at least four of the stations are doing some kind of version of underwriting, and all five of them would like to. And maybe that's just like, you know, we've got to diversify our funding sources, or, you know, this membership thing is really hard and it may be killing us with how many days on air we end up doing. I don't know what the motivations are, and I don't know how significant the practice is, really. Some of them, they call them community partners. And then I would say what's clearly established is our legal right to say who we'll take underwriting from. And so my notion that I've suggested is that we do a pilot program that's voluntary for each station, that we have a clear list, maybe the kind of version that Alex sent out, and we pilot the idea. I understand that they actually did an experiment at some point. These are two other things that I've heard people have said, is that they did an experiment at WPFW at some point, and it didn't really work, where they tried to do underwriting. They may have had paid staff. I think I heard that from John Krigler. I had one more point, but that's my feedback. So the in a public radio station, most do it. Some are more reliant on it than others. I believe that it tends to be in the same scale of revenue as membership revenue. And we're doing it. You know, so the danger in. I understand that some of you with more specific history than I have would know that there have been times when it's come up at the national level, and I suppose that precedent matters. And then I would say the final thing that I would say is that for the affiliate program, what Ursula would like to do, there's a program that she's modeled on a successful program of a consortium of stations in Minnesota, what she would like to do is have the affiliate program. This is like the subject of a separate motion, but she'd like to have the affiliate program serve in a kind of a brokerage role, where they would use the scale of all the affiliates together. And have underwriting that would be placed in the stations, and that the stations would get a percentage of the money, and the affiliate program would get a percentage of the money, and with the idea that that would become a revenue source for Pacifica.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Just a couple of follow-up questions. My understanding is that. When it comes to public television, underwriting is a major part of their revenue. I don't think it's quite that much with public radio. I'm not sure. Do you have any statistics on like WNYC or some of the big stations, WGBH, one of those stations?
I think I actually heard numbers, and this is something else where the data is readily available and would be quite easy to gather. I think I was party to a conversation recently where, you know, the story is, I think that public radio makes as much as public television does. The whole public television national programming model is underwritten by underwriting. Mm-hmm. You know, a show like, the NewsHour, you know, that's fundamental funding for them is to get corporate support. I think I was part of a conversation where I understand that WNYC's budget's about $100 million, and they get 20 some million from underwriting. It's a really significant part of the public radio funding model.
Okay. Of course, keep in mind that the underwriting, when we talk about public radio, public television, is largely corporate underwriting, and Pacifica is not going to go in that direction. We would consider underwriting only if it was some non-corporate model of underwriting. So it,
right.
just by virtue of that, we're not going to be making that as much money under any circumstances.
Yeah, mission-based, although I would say that that's another, so where the money comes from is easy to find, too. And there are, venues, local, I guess we could move into a conversation of what constitutes corporate, but, a significant stream for a local public radio station, for example, would be local restaurants or concert events. It's certainly not all the local banks or public radio hasn't been that successful with generating bank money from banks. Although, I expect with a place like WNYC, it is a pretty significant amount of money.
Yeah.
Carol for the stack.
All right. Well, let's just take a stack now, because I think Tom and I have spoken a while. Carol,
Janet.
Anybody else?
Janet.
Anybody else? Okay, I have you.
I don't want to interrupt you if you're not finished.
No. I might have more to say later.
Okay. I want to say a couple of different things. One is that I really don't know what I think about this, number one. Number two, that there are very strong feelings, which I lean toward at KPFA, on strict no underwriting policy. And I say lean toward because I'm concerned about slippery slopes being, I think one of the most important and unique features of Pacifica is that we are free to say what we decide to say without any strictures because of our dependence on money that presses us to move in directions that we would, that are limiting. But I just wanted to voice and tell people, and maybe you all know that already, that there is a strong KPFA membership feeling against underwriting. I have heard lately some conversations that are more go to what's being talked about now, that is that sort of limited and carefully defined and so on. So anyway, that's it. That's it.
Okay. Janet?
Yeah, so, right, I totally agree about the slippery slope, and even with non-corporate underwriters, who determines which one? I mean, even if it's a nonprofit, so one person's idea of a particular, let's say, nonprofit A being great, another person would not want, would think that would not be good. And, it's like, is there going to be an underwriting czar for Pacifica? And it would be just, who would determine who the underwriters would be is, I guess, what I'm getting at. There should be consultation with a tax attorney regarding whether underwriting income might be taxable, what reporting requirements there may be, and what would be needed to safeguard the organization's exempt status with respect to such a plan. underwriting is very similar to ads, and it would change the nature of Pacifica from a listener-sponsored network. I'm basically totally against underwriting. There should be consultation with legal counsel regarding any potential listener member or staff conflicts of interest or self-dealing with respect to some underwriters. And any policy should be in compliance with the California AG guidelines. There's also a great deal of overhead when it comes to managing an underwriting program, the PSAs and what the content would be and when how many times it would be aired and when, and making sure that what's aired is what was supposed to be aired, et cetera, and then, you know, collecting any kind of proceeds from it. But I resent the motion that I had made I can't remember if it was the last meeting or the meeting before. So there's language in there. But I also attached the slideshow that John Kriegler had made that I had sent before. That I think everybody should look at, and he basically, from what I could tell from it, it's not going to be advisable for Pacifica to do underwriting. I'm done.
Okay. Thank you for your contribution. So good points to think about. Who else wants to be on the stack on this?
Joseph?